Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. This is the Herd. Off vacay. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. Joy Taylor is joining me this morning. We're on radio today and tomorrow, and this is our roots, actually. I started in radio in a small, uncomfortable, less than ideal studio, and Joy Taylor similarly started in Miami, right?
Yeah, this is vintage us radio booth.
We don't have a ton of space, but it is an iconic radio booth. What I was telling everybody last couple of weeks ago, Casey Kasem did his show from here. Seacrest, Rome started doing his show here. Rush Limbaugh. So it's this classic old radio studio here in Sherman Oaks, California. USA Ladies playing Spain today. I will update you throughout the match. Giving you an update. These are the matches now. You lose, you're done at the World Cup. So that's why we're not on television. We will be Wednesday. But I was off last week, as you know. Joy was as well. I was in Utah. She was global. She was doing Cabo and Kansas City and other stuff. Let me start the show this morning with the whole mess. I worked last Monday. I took my vacation starting Tuesday because of the Anthony Davis deal. And since then, there have been a lot of rumors about who the Lakers want to land to go alongside LeBron, Kyle Kuzma, and Anthony Davis. One of them is D'Angelo Russell. They would, I'm told, prefer Kawhi Leonard, but they can't afford Kawhi Leonard. They can't afford D'Angelo Russell. He's not a max player, in my opinion. He's about a $15 million a year guy. Same with Tobias Harris. But he's going to get max money because, listen, there's bad teams. Minnesota's desperate to want him. They'd sign him. So you're going to have to pay $25 million large to get D'Angelo Russell. He's not really a max talent. He's young. He's talented. That should be the AD territory. Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Steph Clay. I mean, like, great players. D'Angelo's really, really good, still really, really young. And the Lakers want him because, obviously, they're not well-run. And there is a difference between landing stars and being well-run. This story doesn't mean a ton. This D'Angelo Russell to the Lakers story doesn't mean a ton because they can't afford him. They can't afford him. And the reason they're, several million short is because the way the Anthony Davis trade went down. Now, let me just say this. It's very, very complicated in terms of the mechanics of salary matching. It's way too complicated to digest for most people driving to work this morning. But the reality is when you sign players, the day you sign them matters because it frees up space. Years ago, the Cleveland Cavaliers did this very well. LeBron says, I'm going to Cleveland to join Kyrie. They wanted another star. The only way to afford it was to trade Andrew Wiggins and get Kevin Love. The timing of it was essential. And so Andrew Wiggins played in the summer league for the Cavs. Well, they just did the deal. Then they did the deal. It wasn't consummated, announced until August 23rd. That allowed them the money to afford LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, and they won titles. They wouldn't have won those titles without all three. So the Lakers right now should be able to afford D'Angelo Russell. Now, you and I can argue whether or not he's worth the money. I don't think he is. I think Anthony Davis, LeBron, Kyle Kuzma, and a series of Darren Collison, Patrick Beverley, J.J. Redick. We just watched Toronto do this. NBA playoffs are about veterans. They're about men. They're about 28, 29, been in the weight room 8 years. I love Brandon Ingram. He's got a kid body. I mean, he's like 22. This is why the NBA draft is fun and joyful, and I cry watching Zion and his mom, and I love it. But outside of Zion, none of those guys looked, Ja Morant, none of them physically looked like NBA players. They're kids. That's what I look like at 17 without like 6'11". And so it's a veteran league. I don't think you need anything more than LeBron, AD, Kuzma, and a bunch of really savvy, smart veterans. Throw me a J.J. Redick can shoot. Patrick Beverley, Darren Collison, Brooke Lopez. Give me guys who can shoot threes, veterans. That's what I would do. the Lakers want to get another star, but they can't afford him. And this is why I feel like the Lakers have become a newspaper. That like the USA Today, where you get the big, great headlines and the splashy colors and the front cover's amazing, and then you open it up and there's not really much information inside. The details are a little light. Even when the Lakers consummated the LeBron deal, did it feel ideal? Did it feel perfect? No. Then they threw together this disparate, odd group of guys that couldn't shoot. Michael Beasley can't shoot. Lance Stevenson's goofy and can't shoot. And Rondo's talented but can't shoot. And JaVale McGee's, I like him, but he's not a shooter. And LeBron's mostly worked with shooters. So even the LeBron deal, in the end, you're like, okay, we got LeBron. It's sunny here. It's the Lakers. It's a great brand. It didn't feel very tight. When LeBron went to Miami, Bosch, Wade, LeBron, they had all this money to give to Battier and Ray Allen and Udonis Haslam and Joel Anthony. It's funny how it works. Why are the Lakers all these years later with the cap moving up broke? Because they don't have their details straight. Magic admitted going into the Lakers, yeah, I can't give you 24/7 on this. I'm busy. We all knew that. Rob Pelinka was a former agent. Wouldn't be shocking if he was not a capologist. He's an attorney. He's not a capologist. So when I look at the Lakers in this Andrew Wiggins situation, the reason the Warriors can win titles is because they have the stars, but they also have Iggy. And they also draft well. And it's all hands on deck. If you look at the Miami Heat with Pat Riley, a super smart executive, it wasn't just LeBron, Wade. It was Battier and Mike Miller, and you had all these smart veterans that you could afford. You know, everybody's got a young guy. Mario Chalmers with the Heat. Everybody's got one young guy. You know, the Warriors have, who's a little guy? Quinn Cook now they like a little bit. Or Kayvon Looney. There's nothing wrong with having a Kuzma. Nothing wrong with having a Mario Chalmers in Miami. There's nothing wrong with having those guys. But in the end, veterans win in this league. Veterans are expensive. And in order to make it work, you got to have the details down. For Pat Riley to make that Miami thing work, every dollar mattered. It's a salary cap league. It's not baseball. For the Warriors to have a dynasty, every penny matters to have a bench. Toronto, the Marc Gasol deal at the deadline. They had a lot of mouths to feed. Kyle Lowry's making a lot of money. Gasol's making a lot of money. Serge Ibaka, there were no discount contracts there. That roster was expensive. It was veterans. Details win in this league, and details are your bench and your fifth starter. So, and Rob Pelinka is, and I guess my takeaway on the Lakers is they become a big news, the newspaper with the flashy headlines, or the, you know, the Twitter link where the headline's great, and then you download the link and there's no real information there. I just don't see the details. I think the Lakers are going to be very good. I would not give the extra money to D'Angelo Russell or Tobias Harris. I think that's desperate and reaching. You've got two stars. You've got an emerging good player. It's all out in front of you. Just go sign a bunch of smart, cagey veterans who can hit three-pointers, and you can win a championship. But the D'Angelo Russell nonsense I've been reading, you know, Pelinka's feeding certain media members to defend his back, saying, you know, listen, I am an attorney. I know what I'm doing. There's good attorneys, bad attorneys. There's different areas of law you can major in. Litigation, corporate attorneys, divorce attorneys. Just because Rob Pelinka is an attorney doesn't mean he knows how to work the cap. But it's very clear to me from people that I trust and have talked to on my vacation that the rest of the league's looking at the Lakers and saying, you guys screwed this up. And you screwed it up on the date, and now you can't afford D'Angelo Russell, and you're trying to, like, wedge him in, and he's not worth the money, and you should have about $8 million more cap space, and you don't, and it's on you. So the Laker brand's great, and LeBron's great, and AD's great, and I love Kuzma, but let me just ask you, do they feel well-run? Just go look at the Miami team. They had Wade, Bosch, LeBron, and room to afford seven other capable players. The Lakers are going to be down to AD, LeBron, Kuzma, and me. I may be the third guy off the bench. Details matter in these salary cap sports. Knowing the date on trades matters. Lord. You know, I read this story this morning that's interesting. Kawhi Leonard is going to decline his option and be a free agent. And the Raptors now, we looked this up in Vegas this morning, are the favorite to land him. And, you know, I've predicted Colin right, Colin wrong in 50 minutes. We'll talk about this. Canada has a history of not keeping their NBA stars. That's just the history. Steve Nash said no. T-Mac left. Bosch left. I actually think Vince Carter. I actually think I like the NBA a lot. After the NFL, it's the sport I talk about a lot. I actually think it's best for the NBA if Kawhi Leonard stays. I saw another story this morning. Jimmy Butler could go west. Houston's after him hard. If Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler go west, Al Horford leaving the Celtics, rumor is he's going west to Dallas or Los Angeles, the Clippers. The Vegas title odds this morning are Lakers, Warriors, Rockets, Nuggets, Jazz, Portland, Raptors, Bucks. If Kawhi leads the Raptors, Milwaukee's the only Eastern team in there. Now, KD's probably going east, but he's not going to play for a year. Add to that that Zion and Ja Morant are not only the two best basketball players in college this year, they are so dynamic. I mean, God, you watch that draft highlights. You can argue yourself into R.J. Barrett. But when you watch Zion and Ja Morant, you're like, oh, those were NBA players in college. They are so dynamic. One's a better version of Westbrook. The other one looks like a more in-shape version of Barkley or a better dribbling Karl Malone. So now the West already has the most good teams. And don't forget Dallas, Denver, Oklahoma City, Spurs always viable, Pelicans suddenly fascinating. Out of college, they just got Zion and Ja Morant, easily the two most dynamic and fun-to-watch players. And it symmetry matters. I love college football. But over the last, I would say, 4 or 5 years, I have talked significantly less college football because it has no geographical symmetry. This morning, the national title odds are Bama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU, Texas, Auburn, Florida. Oh, wait, there's Oregon. Denver West, nobody cares. It's too southern. And by the way, love the sport. Saturdays, I'll watch as much college as pro football. But the reason I don't talk it as much is because a huge part of my audience, Denver West, no longer cares. They can't compete for a national title. If you look at the NFL map right now, the symmetry is perfect. You got a great team in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle. 2-hour flight down, Silicon Valley's got the Niners and the dysfunctional but fun Raiders. Rams and Chargers in L.A., very good rosters. The Midwest is perfectly, perfectly protected. The Bears, the Packers, the Colts, the Chiefs, Dallas. Excellent. Then you move into that Ohio region, Cleveland Steelers, dynamic and fun. Northeast, Philly, New England, could win the Super Bowl. Down south, Atlanta, New Orleans, Super Bowl teams. You have all this perfect symmetry. So the NFL, when I talk the NFL, everybody's in. We're all part of the same club. I never feel like I'm alienating anybody talking NFL. When I talk college football, I feel like I can hear Denver West car radios turning off. I feel like, honestly, Phoenix is like, we don't care. People out west don't even know where Clemson is on a map. And so in the NBA, I do think it's incredibly important. If you look at the NBA map now, there's just way too many teams. Oklahoma City, and never forget this, Milwaukee could very easily be a Western team if they wanted to realign the NBA. Chicago, for years, Chicago Blackhawks, they're in the West. So Milwaukee is what, a little bit west of Chicago. Milwaukee could easily be a Western team. If Milwaukee was in the West, the whole damn league's top half is in the West. And then your best Eastern team now, if Kawhi stays, is in Canada. So Boston's hemorrhaging players. Philadelphia, according to reports, is going to lose Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. My thing is stay East because I love the league, and I do think it matters. Right now, the Dodgers are great. Oh, so are the Cubs and the Astros. And then there's the Red Sox and the Yankees. The Braves are coming on in the South. That stuff matters for a guy like me. I like college football. I can't talk it as much. I love the NBA. I don't want all these players coming west. Kawhi Leonard's better in Canada. Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris are better in Philadelphia. Al Horford, to me, should have stayed in Boston because I can talk about him. So the Kawhi Leonard situation's really interesting. Do you think privately, part of me really thinks Adam Silver privately is saying, LA's fine. Clippers are fun. LeBron, AD, LA's good. Because I think if I was a commissioner, I would really worry about the overall macro global view of my league and so many things are working for the NBA. This is becoming the SEC. Like, you start the season, and you know 9 out of your 10 best. And then people will say, well, Toronto won the title. Yes, because Golden State fell apart physically. But there was a reason one of those teams was heavily favored. And it's not just that they were heavily favored. They had all the stars except Kawhi. I don't think that's great for leagues.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Chris Broussard is joining me. So, Chris, I was on vacation last week. And I was reading a lot about the significance of July 30th in relation to the Anthony Davis deal with the Pelicans. There's, you know, the Lakers have $24 million in cap space at that point. If Davis receives his traded bonus, you know, $28 million if he agrees to waive it. It's a very complex and it's very confusing. But this morning, do you believe Rob Pelinka was aware of it, or he is now sort of bailing water, hoping somebody, because it still can work, but he needs favors? Where do you fall on this?
Well, I tend to think that they overlooked it. There's no other way to think about it. There's no way they knew about it and were just like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. Because it's a huge deal, number one. It gives you the opportunity to get a Kawhi Leonard or a Kyrie Irving or whoever, you know, one of those big-time superstar max players. But even if you don't, you have to fill out a roster right around LeBron and AD. And so that money from the $4 million for Anthony Davis to the potential max cap room, that is of the utmost importance. So I think it was an oversight. And then once they realized it, they scrambled and they tried to trade the other three guys remaining on their roster, you know, Mo Wagner and those other two guys. And now they're, you know, especially with New Orleans making that trade, they now have absolutely no control over it. And why in the world would a team help them? Why would Atlanta help the Lakers and just say, well, we'll wait to sign, you know, our fourth pick till July 30th. We'll skip summer league. We won't have it. No. And so it was a tremendous oversight on the Lakers' part. Look, it's not the worst thing in the world. They obviously still got Anthony Davis, but it is a big mistake that could be very costly for them.
You know, I was talking to Joy about this, about Kawhi Leonard. And college football's gotten very Southern. And I love college football, but a big chunk of the country now, the numbers are eroding because they don't feel like they're in the club. Denver West, the Pac-12's fallen off. They can't really compete for national titles. And I still watch college football, but I talk less about it and give it less free publicity because of that. I look at the NBA, and I can make an argument. There's rumors now Jimmy Butler would go to Houston. Al Horford would go to the Clippers. If Kawhi left, man, it is lonely out there. Milwaukee and a bunch of stuff. I could make the argument this morning, Kawhi staying in Canada is actually, Chris, is great for the league for some geographical symmetry. What are your thoughts on that, and what are you hearing on Kawhi?
Well, I agree. It would help the league in that it would balance out the conferences. This is the first year in a while that we've had some semblance of balance. But don't forget, you've got Philadelphia. So Philadelphia, Milwaukee in the East. Boston won't be a contender anymore, but they'll still be okay. They'll be pretty good. Indiana's got cap room. They may be able to get a player that elevates them to another level. And then what if Kevin Durant, obviously he'll sit out this year, but what if he goes to Brooklyn or New York, or he and Kyrie go to Brooklyn or New York together? Now you've got another juggernaut in the East next season, you know, after next season. So it's not as bad. But as far as Kawhi, here's the deal. Obviously, he can stay in Toronto and get $50 million more extra dollars. So that is huge. And Toronto is very much alive in this thing. However, I think this could very well be a lifestyle decision for Kawhi Leonard. And that is what I was hearing all the way back to San Antonio and this whole past year. And I've been told nothing's changed, you know, leading into the playoffs, nothing's changed, leading into the finals, nothing's changed. So I think it's very possible Kawhi makes a lifestyle decision, says, I want to live in Southern California. And that ends up, you know, sending him to the Clippers. Because here's the thing. Why, like, if he's that heavy on Toronto, why are you visiting with four or five other teams? There's no Toronto, you won a title there. They can give you $50 million. You have a training staff and a medical staff you trust and know is good to you. They're down with the low management that lets you sit out 20 games or so. What else? You got chemistry with your teammates. You had a great bonding experience. What other reason? What do you need to hear from another team? And Kawhi is not a personality where he just wants to go out and get all this attention and have this big tour and have all the attention on him. Where's he going? He visited the Clippers the other day. He visited the Lakers. That's not him. I believe the reason he's visiting these other teams, particularly the Clippers, is to hear, can you give me what Toronto did? And if the Clippers can impress him with their medical staff, which I believe they can, with their front office, which I believe they can, with their basketball plan, which I believe they can, then I think they got a great chance of getting him. There's no other reason for him to meet with these teams unless he wants to see, can you give me the load management plan, that routine, your medical routine, what's that look like? And the Clippers have spent all year, Colin, studying Kawhi Leonard as much, if not more, than any other franchise. Their presentation to him basketball-wise and personality-wise is going to be right on the money.
Yeah, can you imagine? Think about this. As well-run as the Clippers are, if they miss on Kawhi, and as dysfunctional as the Lakers are, they land AD. I would be sitting there if I was Steve Ballmer and be like, what does it take? I mean, the Clippers did everything right this year. Great coach, wonderful team, good dudes, amazing chemistry, branding's great. And they go and they whiff on Kawhi. And the Lakers were a tire fire for 6 months and land. I mean, sometimes life is not fair, right? Like, if they don't get Kawhi, the Clippers, life is not fair.
Well, that's a great point, because if they don't get Kawhi, who are they getting?
That's right. Al Horford?
Really?
I mean,
right. And here's the interesting thing with talk about Al Horford, the Pelicans. Now, I love him in New Orleans. With those young kids, he's a true professional.
Yes.
He'll defend, do the right thing, play smart. I love him in New Orleans. That could be interesting. Watch that. But, yeah, look, that would tell you the power of LeBron James.
Right.
That he gets AD and the Clippers get nothing. So, look, there has been talk, and I've been told that Kawhi is looking, do the Clippers have enough basketball-wise? Because he may not want to carry the burden, and this is where all the talk about him potentially going to the Lakers stems from, that he doesn't necessarily want to carry the burden year in and year out of leading a team to a title by himself with no other superstar.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, no, I totally get that. By the way, Kobe used to, you know, Kobe wanted to be the man. He didn't want to be the only man.
Right, right, right. You need that other guy. And look, Kawhi is different. And I don't think he'll go to the Lakers, but there is that talk out there, and I've been told that by some people. If he went to the Lakers, you could not criticize him like people criticized Kevin Durant when he went to the Warriors.
No, because he already won essentially as the go-to guy.
Exactly. And that's the difference. I mean, he could coast the rest of his career and he's going to, you know, be a star and a Hall of Famer and all that. So it's going to really be interesting. But, like, look, and Toronto's a great city, but it's tough for guys who grew up in America to stay there. The type of guys that they get to stay there are international players or American guys who haven't really been able to cut it elsewhere. Kyle Lowry goes all over the league, gets to Toronto, and becomes an all-star. And so, of course, he'll stay there. But most other types of guys, Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, they have not wanted to stay there because, as great a city as it is, it isn't like being in America.
Right. No, fair enough. Chris Broussard, good talking to you, bud.
All right, my man. Later.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Every Monday, we do it at this time. Colin right, Colin wrong. So here we go.
Where Colin was right?
Well, Zion was not only drafted number one, but he owned the night. I find this kid a rare 19-year-old American superstar, crying with his mother, humble, relatable. Ja Morant's talented. He is not Zion in terms of a personality and a dynamic, magnetic human being. Zion, to me, I watched Duke play 15 to 20 times this year. This is what Magic Johnson was like. And for a lot of you college basketball fans who are in your 20s, you just don't remember this. The sport used to have great players come back for their junior, senior year. So Zion would have come back for several years. But he is exactly, the draft night summed up how I feel about Zion. It's not just talent. He is so relatable and so human and so vulnerable. I'm sitting on my couch crying, watching him talk about his mom. That is what takes him from star to American superstar. And don't tell me college basketball is all bad, because Duke is the reason I know who he is. If he went to Europe or he played G League, I wouldn't have any connection to him emotionally. I was so in on Zion. He has become exactly, before playing a game, what we predicted.
Where Colin was wrong.
I like Chris Paul. I have for years. He's smart and tough. My kind of guy. But where there's smoke, there is some fire. There's another story that he can't get along with James Harden. And we know Big Baby Davis didn't like him. And Blake didn't. And DeAndre Jordan didn't. And Doc struggled. I can like a guy, but I have to be honest with myself and acknowledge he's difficult. By the way, when I watch Chris Paul, he can be annoying. He's like Kyle Lowry with more talent. Yeah, you know, he's dramatic, he's feisty. I love Chris Paul, but I think it's, you can no longer deny that he can be tough to play with. Not everybody's Magic Johnson. Not everybody, you know, some guys are tougher to play with. He's tough to play with.
Where Colin was right.
I said this about 2 years ago. Aaron Rodgers would hate to hear this, but he's becoming Brett Favre. It's like when you don't want to become your dad, and then at 55, you're like, oh, Christ, I'm my dad. Aaron Rodgers has become Brett Favre. Remember Brett Favre at the end? I don't want to learn a new offense. He got kind of brittle and kind of rigid. I just want to do the way I want to do it. Well, what do you know? Brett Favre came out this weekend and said, you know, they should just let Aaron play his game, because Aaron has complained the new coach wants to coach him, and he can't ad lib constantly in an offense. And essentially, Favre and Aaron Rodgers have become the same guy. We didn't really watch them much in college. They come into the game, and after sitting a while, are the transcendent arm talent in the sport. You start hearing rumors that they're kind of rigid, they do it their way, they're tough to coach, but we love their talent so much, we forget the fact that they don't win as many games as they should win. Brett Favre should have won more big games. Aaron Rodgers should win more big games. Aaron's become, as we predicted, Brett Favre.
Where Colin was wrong.
I never thought Canada had a shot to keep Kawhi. It's nothing against Canada, but I just, you know, I watch data, I look at history, and they don't keep their stars. The stories this morning, though, is that Kawhi Leonard, Raptors are the favorite to land him. I actually think it's great for the league. I think you need to have guys on the East that I want to watch play. The Raptors can offer 5 years and $190 million. There's no way in the world I would turn down guaranteed money in the NBA. I wouldn't tell my kids to. I couldn't. But I didn't think this would happen. I thought it would be, he'd be exit stage right. There was a story over the weekend. He was at Home Depot or something, grabbing boxes, moving boxes, and people were freaking out. Do you guys see that story on the internet? That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
No.
Like, you can't go to Home Depot. You're leaving a city. But it looks like Toronto may keep him.
Where Colin was right.
Joy knows this. I don't buy into these massive contracts for baseball players.
Nope.
Phillies have lost 7 straight. Spent all that money on Bryce. The Padres, Manny Machado, 15 and a half games out of first. By the way, Bryce Harper's now leading off. They can't figure out what the hell to do with him. The Angels are in fourth place with Mike Trout. By the way, the Dodgers on fire continue to pass on Zach Greinke. We don't want to pay him the big money. Manny Machado will pass. Bryce Harper will pass. And the Dodgers have maybe the best chemistry in baseball. A bunch of young kids. They had 3 straight rookie walk-off home runs this weekend. And when the Dodgers win, look at how they pour out of the dugout. So Andrew Friedman, they got Puig out of the room because Puig was, I guess, harder to play with. He was driving people crazy, a little dysfunctional. They got him out of town, and the Dodgers' chemistry has just been unbelievable. Once again, the Phillies, who went all in on the massive 10-12-year free agent, are now completely reeling because you bring a star in, I think it affects chemistry. And when you pay a home run hitter $30 million a year, it puts enormous stress to, oh, we're not getting 45 jacks a year and 120 RBI. Didn't like the deal. It looks bad now.
Where Colin was right.
Tell my kids, your reactions, not your actions, will end up shaping your life. Be careful not to overreact. The NFL's passed a new rule. Within the last 2 minutes, first half, second half, overtime, you can go to replays on pass interference. Wildly overreacting to one play in one Saints-Rams game. This is a mistake. Dean Blandino, former head of officials, rules guy, right, said, quote, in my experience, you don't create a rule for one play. Even as obvious as that play was, you end up with bad rules. Yep, nobody wants to see the Rams Saints. Everybody wants to fix it, but I feel like you create a rule to fix that play, we're going to see a bunch of other plays that are impacted. This is what we said. Sports tends to overreact. Bud Selig did this. Remember, they had a tie in the All-Star game? And Bud's like, we can't have a tie. Winner of the All-Star game gets home field advantage in the World Series. What? What? Reaction, not action, will generally beat you.
Where Colin was right?
Oh, LSU's getting in trouble from the NCAA because, I don't know, they pay football players. When I used to work at the other place, I kept saying there's two SEC teams that pay people. You'll find out about them over time. One was Ole Miss. Alabama coaches for years were complaining about Ole Miss paying players. The second one, and now we're seeing it, and I wouldn't say it until they got busted, and they knew both would get busted, the other one was LSU. It's a terribly kept secret in the SEC. Ole Miss and LSU, bring a bag of money. Here's the story. An LSU booster pled guilty to stealing more than $500,000 from a foundation and paying $180,000 to a star lineman. This is just what you're hearing about. I watch a lot of SEC football. It's the best conference by a mile. But I've been banging on this for years. There are two schools with suitcases of money for star players, and they've both been nabbed. Ole Miss and LSU. There's one more, but they're not as bad. That'll come out in the next 2 years.
Where Colin was wrong.
Says here, Kevin Durant's going to Brooklyn. The Nets are gaining confidence they can sign him, according to Brian Windhorst. I don't get it basketball-wise. I think the Nets roster is a mess. Their owner's overseas. I think KD's not playing for a year. I think Kyrie's hard to play with. I think it's a diva time bomb. I'll just say it. I don't get it. If I was KD's agent, I would not recommend this, but looks like I'm going to be wrong on that one.
Where Colin was right.
All right, soccer experts. I saw Christian Pulisic at 17, and I said, I'm not a soccer expert, but I've been doing this sports thing for a long time, and I can see talent. Anybody watch Christian Pulisic so far in the Gold Cup? Lord. He was filthy against Trinidad Tobago. A goal and two assists. Soccer fans, stop it. You don't have to play. You don't have to be an expert. You can watch baseball and watch Mike Trout for a weekend and go, who's that guy? He's better than everybody else. Christian Pulisic, who we said 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I went on the air at Fox and I said, there's this kid and he is the greatest soccer prodigy in my life. And you're now seeing him develop, played over in Germany. Now he's going to the English Premier League. He is ridiculously gifted. He put on a clinic this weekend.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, Baker Mayfield taking a shot at somebody. Yeah, Baker Mayfield is now the poster boy, obviously, for the Browns renaissance. He was taking shots at the very talented quarterback Sam Ehlinger for the Texas Longhorns, who is front and center along with Tom Herman, the coach, bringing back the Longhorns to respectability. They'll be a very good team this year. And Baker Mayfield took multiple shots at him over the weekend. Mayfield doesn't like Ehlinger because Mayfield doesn't like the University of Texas. Yeah, Red River Shootout, by the way, is October 12th, Fox Sports in Dallas. So anyway, Baker Mayfield ripping him over the weekend, saying, let me find the quote here. He said, yeah, they say Texas football's back. They said that when they beat Notre Dame a couple years ago and they won like three games after that. He said, I'm sick of their crap. That'll stir the pot. This quarterback couldn't beat Lake Travis, so I don't care about his opinion on winning. Lord. Baker Mayfield. I got to tell you, he's going to have potholes all through his career, but he will be interesting. A lot of potholes, but he's going to be fun.
Well, we're in the interesting business.
We are.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Brett Favre was asked this week, I don't know if we have the sound for this, but Brett Favre was asked about Aaron Rodgers. About a week ago, I was on vacation. There was a little story about Aaron Rodgers has a new coach, and Aaron's come out and said, listen, this coach has a style and a system, and it's pretty rigid. And I'm not necessarily a quarterback who works well in a rigid offense. I tend to be an ad libber. And Favre defended Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron will be fine. You know, I think that's the thing, is he needs to remain the same, and I don't have to give him any advice. He'll handle it well. I think you let him play his game and not disturb that very much. And it's going to be interesting to see if that happens.
Here's the thing. Tom Brady and Joe Montana were incredibly coachable stars, 10 Super Bowls, incredibly coachable. Favre, Big Ben, and Aaron Rodgers are talented, not as coachable. Now, yippee, they've got five MVPs, but Favre, Big Ben, and Rodgers only have four Super Bowls. And I think when I say Favre, Big Ben, and Rodgers, we tend to think talented, but left a lot on the table. Is what you're hearing about Aaron Rodgers is what Greg Cosell said on our show 3 years ago, and I've played this at least 10 times, maybe more. Aaron Rodgers is not that coachable.
The reality is, when you watch Aaron Rodgers, and it takes nothing away from his performances over the years, but he's not truly a rhythm player, Colin. He's kind of an offbeat player, an off-rhythm player. He's more like a jazz beat. He's a second reaction player. And very often, there are throws that are there within the rhythm of the play and the timing of the play, and he doesn't make those throws. Now, he might move around and then make another throw, but there are times against really good defenses where that doesn't work. It's tough to be consistent that way against higher-level defenses.
Translation? He's not very coachable. Like, you have to make a choice as a talented quarterback, and really any athlete. Do you want to be coachable? Tim Duncan, Tom Brady, Andrew Luck. Or do you want to just do what works for you? Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, a little bit of Cam. What do you want to do? And I'll give you an amazing stat. Aaron Rodgers owns a shockingly bad stat, and it's hard to wrap your brain around. But it's data, and you can't argue it. Aaron Rodgers has fewer come-from-behind wins than Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill, and Joe Flacco. Don't blame the defense. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, but yes, it does. Because to win come-from-behind games, coaching converges with quarterback play. So who are the two best guys in the league statistically at come-from-behind wins? Brady and Luck, the two most coachable stars. The Ringer did an article, it was last football season, and they were talking about how Brady and Luck, over 50%, when they can come from behind and win, they do, because they're coachable. Aaron Rodgers and his unwillingness to be coached is at 25%, half of Luck and Brady. And so I think Aaron Rodgers could get away with this when Chicago had a bad GM, a bad coach, and no quarterback, and when Detroit and Minnesota were dysfunctional. And there was a long streak when the Bears, the Lions, and the Vikings didn't have a franchise quarterback. But Chicago and Minnesota now are loaded rosters. They have their quarterbacks for the future. And the closer the talent, details in all sports matter more. And Aaron Rodgers is becoming Favre. None of us want to become our dads, right? And you look up at 45, and we're all our dads. And my wife and I joke about that all the time. We don't want to be our parents, right? Oh, they're not cool. They didn't do this. And you look up at 45 and you're like, oh, I'm a parent. Is that Rodgers is becoming Favre, a certain rigidity, a certain level of talent, not willing to always be coachable, ad-libbing out of called successful plays. And I just, you cannot get past that come from behind stat. Don't make excuses. The Packers haven't had great defenses, but they haven't been garbage. He's got fewer come-from-behind wins than Dalton, Flacco, and Tannehill. Have they always had great defenses? Did Tannehill always have great defenses? Did Andy Dalton always have great defenses? Statistically, Cincinnati's defense was the worst in NFL history last year. So at some point, Aaron Rodgers has to make a choice. Do I want to be more coachable or just do what I do? I think it's hurt Cam. I think it's hurt Ben. I think it's hurt Favre. And I think it's hurt Aaron Rodgers.